This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Caitlin Canty.
Get up, get up, get up. No time to rest or run for cover. Get up, get up, get up. Before the road pulls you up. Shivering on summer's hottest night. Salt crusted sweat dries dust deep in white lines. Dreaming that you will find it in the nick of time. Ooh, ooh. Get up, get up, get up. No time to rest or run for. Get up, get up, get up. Before the road pulls you under. Knock the breath out of your madness. Burn your photographs at the edges. Send your heart back where you left it. Took a long switchbacks walking through tall grass. Color matches on summer's hottest night. Charred bark and dusty ash burned out 2 years back. Dreaming that you will find it in the nick of time. Knock the breath out of your madness. Burn your photographs at the edges. Send your heart back from where you left it.
This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Caitlin Canty. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's good to talk with you.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. And just so listeners will be aware as to how we're communicating, we are going to be speaking by phone, although we're using the magic of technology so that it will not sound quite as much like we're speaking by phone. And Caitlin is calling from, you're in Nashville, right?
I'm in Nashville.
Okay.
I think the thunderstorm is going to hold off here, so.
Oh, if it comes, that'll be great. That'll be a good backdrop, yeah. Especially for your music.
Exactly.
It'd be very apropos. I'll tell listeners right from the start, CaitlinCanty.com is the name of the website. Motel Bouquet is the name of her most recent recording, and we're going to be talking about that in the midst of this interview. Caitlin, one of the things that I came across when looking through your bio and in the about section of your website, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times folks will ask if I'm mentioning, oh, I'm going to be interviewing Caitlin Canty. Oh, where's she from? You know, where's she out of? And obviously, as we said, you're out of Nashville now. But I thought it was very interesting that when talking about where you are from originally, it just says a small town in Vermont.
Oh, sure. I'm a born and raised Vermonter. And so I have a hard time, you know, having been in Nashville only 3 years, saying I'm from Nashville. So I'm glad you say I'm out of Nashville, based in Nashville. When I grew up in Vermont, it's a tiny town. It's actually a marble town.
There's the world's largest marble museum in our hometown. I went to high school and elementary school, and there were 31 kids in my graduating class, about 2,000 people in town. So gives you a, you know, an idea of the size. But it's near Rutland, Vermont, and Killington is one way to put your finger on it. There's so many tiny towns in Vermont, and I love it there. I grew up in this idyllic life. I played soccer and basketball, and folks would come out with their lawn chairs and their signs and cheer us on, and even, you know, travel with us to the other tiny Vermont towns. And I played in the band and I sang, and I'm one of those freaks who loved high school, even, you know.
Before I get any further, do folks actually call it Marble Town? That's a great story.
No, they don't call it. It's just Proctor, Vermont. You know, there's covered bridges everywhere, but we've got a marble bridge that rolls through town. And, you know, the public high school is covered in marble. Like even the front, the outside, the steps, the bathrooms, the floors. It was a good place to become a singer. You know, you just walk through the halls and you want to sing. Yeah. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, I confess, when you first said that, before I thought about it for a second, I thought of like Marble Town, like as in, you know, where they make little marbles that you play with when you're a kid.
Oh, that's funny. No, we're talking about Jefferson Memorial.
Okay.
That kind of marble.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. Caitlin, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was your voice, your singing voice, because some very cool descriptions I've come across in doing some research. I love this casually devastating. I think that is one of the coolest descriptions of somebody's voice.
That was a
voice.
Nice one.
That is nice. And I think that it's very descriptive, a voice of haunting urgency. And it occurs to me, I've often asked this question of musicians, the first time that they realized that when they were making music in whatever way they did so, that it A, struck something inside themselves. And then the second part of that question is the first time you realized not only does that happen, but people are taking notice and I'm engaging people with what comes out of my mouth.
Well, you know, it's funny to try to think about when you stumbled across your own voice. It's almost like, do you remember taking your first breath, you know, or your first step? Or I know from my family's lore, you know, and memories growing up, I was always singing, and I was always singing with my best friend out the window, you know, and down, we would, you know, I remember one time we were singing out the front window of my, the house I grew up in, just howling, you know, like singing every song we knew and putting on a show for the neighbors, I guess. My family recounts this one time I was, we were driving to Maine. We always did that every summer. We would take the trip from Vermont to Maine and sit at the beach. And I think it was a cranberry song. I just would always sing a song on repeat that I was into. And everyone finally just said, can you maybe change the station or try a new song or maybe just give it a rest? And I stuck my head out the window in order to continue singing because I loved singing. I always loved it.
My lungs are full of diesel fumes. My heart is full of missing you. Try to go to the roof to get closer to the sky. So tired I can't sleep. I'm separating stars from city lights. But my little home is not as high as these other buildings. I heard there's poles to scrape the sky, but I think they're missing. I'm missing a place, there's no replacing. Where she's listening to crickets sing, I can only hear this TV humming. It's dark and empty tonight. It's too bright in this fake light. fast and hard, just to end up right back where it started. The harder I try to hold, the faster it goes. I've been breathing out more than I've been breathing in. Gonna head straight home till I find myself a second wind. I thought by now I had a little more figured out, had a mouth full of wisdom, someone to hold it up. So I'm going back, hide and seek till I find it. My heart is full of missing you. My heart is full of missing you.
Caitlin, in doing some research and looking through some of your YouTube videos, I came across a real nice feature that was done at the Paste Studio in New York for Paste Magazine, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. And a real nice little feature with that for which you played a couple of tunes and had an interview. And I wanted to ask you about this, something you said in this interview. You always remember where you were when something comes at you. And I just wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about that in terms of songwriting process and those moments of inspiration where a song comes from. If I were to pull up a song, I'm going to pull up a song actually right now. Sure. The song Who. This is a song that has been sticking with me for some time. It's the first time I heard it, actually.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Beautiful tune, beautifully written, beautifully recorded. I love the arrangement of it. But let's take a song like that. Do you have that sure. same memory of when, you know, when that came at you?
I do, in a way. I had that is the one song on this record, on Motel Bouquet, and on, I think, my past records. I wrote the lyrics entirely before the music came. So I'd written the words in this complete finalized brick, you know, mm-hmm. and I had tried on all these different I'd tried in different grooves, I'd tried on different chords, I'd, you know, obviously different melodies, I'd sung it without a guitar, and I do remember when I found the right moment and the right guitar and melody, and that was here in Nashville, and I was playing a Kalamazoo guitar that's tuned down a full step, so it's really, you know, it's darker, it's mm-hmm. deeper, it's yeah. mournful. And so once I started playing, and, you know, the chords that fell into place, and the melody just, like, poured out of me, too. And so that moment I remember sitting on the end of the bed and playing that song.
Caitlin, what's going on with the lyrics in that song?
I remember I was, you know, some of the lyrics, who put the song on your lips, who put the swing in your hips, who put the cotton in your fingertips. Like, those lines just kind of poured out when I was thinking about, like, who put that spark in your eye? Like, where does that spark come from? Like, did, you know, that feeling when you're in love, or that feeling of when you see something gorgeous that you, like, that just is, it creates that feeling of wonder. Like, and so the song is very simple in its premise, just saying, you know, who put the bird in your chest. I was thinking about that feeling of, like, when your heart is fluttering, you know, instead of saying who put the beat in your chest, then I said, who put the beat in your step? You know, it was just, it followed from feeling that initial idea of trying to say, who put the spark in your eye, but not saying something that was, I wanted to say something that gave you an impression more than just said the thing. Like, mm-hmm. if you say who put the bounce in your step, you might not think of the word, that feeling of bounce, but if you say who put the bird in your chest, like, what the hell is she even talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, maybe you get that same impression I'm talking about, that extra, you know, pulse, that strange feeling that you're yeah. aware of sometimes when you feel that spark or that in love feeling. So that song started that way, and I wrote three verses of that kind of feeling, the last one being, who put the moon in your cry, who put the wind in your sigh, and who put the light in your eye. I'm sorry, not the light. I said the sun in your eye. But
yeah, that alone is an interesting
turns.
Line. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting intersection of like instinct and thought put into songwriting. Like there was a lot of instinct, and then I would look at something and change from who put the light in your eye. I would change who put the sun in your eye, because to me that is goes both ways. You know, there's something shining out of your eye, there's something shining into your eye. So that felt like a more interesting, full way of talking about what I'm talking about. But the switch and that bridge, there's, you know, you took the away from me. So it's, you know, you took the salt from my lips, you took the red from my mouth, you know, you took the love from my fingertips, that kind of, you know, abandonment. Or it almost felt like when I wrote this song, there was some feeling of moving, like when a train is pulling into the station and pulling backwards, like you're still in the same seat, but you're being pulled away, you know, and the landscape moves differently. Like I felt this forward motion with the verses, and then the bridge feeling like you're just being pulled away from that beauty, you know, like the color was draining from it. And that's, you know, we've all felt both sides of that coin in our lives. And that song for me was not just one moment or time. It was just that horrible feeling when you lose love, and that wonderful feeling when you find it, and it found its way into one song.
Who put the song on your lips? Who put the swing in your hips? Who put the cotton? Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We're speaking today with Caitlin Canty. Caitlin, again, I'm going to reference your bio and a quote that I came across, or maybe just a description. Caitlin has put thousands of miles on her songs, circling through the U.S. and Europe. I love that concept of putting the miles on the songs, like you would the tires of your car. And I want to kind of tie that in with, as you think about that, we were talking about different comments and so forth. And one of the videos on YouTube, one of the commenters called you a shy doe. That's how he perceived you. It was a shy
Clearly
doe.
Clearly he doesn't know me.
Well, I was going to ask about that, but also too, it just brought to mind, and we've touched a little bit on this, the concept of just how you navigate the whole journey of putting out music under your own name and putting yourself out there in the world as a musician, and just kind of talk a little bit about that journey and that journey that's led you to put thousands of miles on your songs.
Of course. It's a big question, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
A lot of folks. No, it's fine. I like big questions. Well, there's when you're a singer-songwriter, there's a direct people, and I do the same thing in the audience. You make a direct correlation between the person saying I, who's singing, who may have written that song, and you think that they're singing directly about their life. You take a lot as if it were the story they are living verbatim, almost. And I think, so that's a dangerous thing about singing your own songs. And but I love touring. I love singing in front of folks. I don't just think of writing as some process I do in a little, an office or with other co-writers. It's not how I work. There's a cyclical thing of, writing a song and maybe airing it out on stage during a sound check in an empty room before the people show up, or on, introducing a new song in a show, maybe when there's a moment to try something new. So I have to put the miles on my songs. I love singing. So I write songs and they seem to pour out of me. I don't really know why I do it. It's just, I couldn't avoid it. I tried to do that. The practical jobs that I worked in offices for 5 years, but I just can't avoid making music. I love it too much.
Caitlin, you've gone into great detail about this whole journey you've been on with music, from the start in a small town in Vermont to now in Nashville and putting all these miles on your songs and just the whole process. So it comes around to, mid 2018 as we're recording this. Do you give much thought to where you see this journey going?
I do. I finally live in Nashville, Tennessee. I live in a place that has it's accommodating to a musician. There's a lot of folks like me around who want to collaborate and who have porches and guitars and are willing to do that, and they don't live too far away. And then there's the airport, which is just a 15-minute drive, and so the world is also at my fingertips. And I think most of my life and most of the songs that have come out that I've released, they've all come from when I was living in places I hadn't chosen, and I was moving around so much that I never really felt like I had a home that was my own. Not, I always had my childhood home, but the land to put some roots into. Like, I love to be out in the garden. I love to plant a tree. And that change of perspective, I was always like running toward this, and now I actually live in it. I mean, that's a really strange thing. Like, if you're a musician, a lot of folks are always saying to you, what's it like to be living the dream? And it's
yes,
very sweet for people to say that. But I never actually felt like I was living the thing that I had set out to do. I always felt like I'm just on my way somewhere. And I'm not talking about success or career stuff. I mean, like, I just felt like I was living in a car, and I was on my way. And now I live in a home that has some dirt that I can grow stuff in. I'm really excited about what might grow here. I don't know. I don't have a directed path for the songs, except keep writing them and see where they lead me next.
In a motel, living bouquet in the ice pail, you can tell them I'm doing okay, doing real well. I got six strings.
CaitlinCanty.com is the name of Caitlin's website. Maybe I'll just say Caitlin Canty, both with C's. Caitlin with a C, Canty mm-hmm. with a C. CaitlinCanty.com. And Motel Bouquet is the name of her most recent recording. Caitlin, thanks so much for making time to chat with us here on Musician Spotlight. And we look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Thank you. I wish I was in Montana with you right now. It sounds like it's a better place to be than this steam box we got in Nashville at the moment.
Well, hopefully we'll see you back in Montana sometime soon.
Oh, I hope so too. Thanks, John.
Enough about hard times, you fell on your own knife.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Caitlin Canty. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.